Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Collectively Rewilding is an online forum for learning, sharing, and teaching the skills needed to enhance our experience in the natural world. We're looking for the best mentors, guides, and instructors who can teach a variety of natural skill sets. If you've got something to share, we have the platform to help you make a difference for free. If you are more interested in learning and expanding your abilities in nature, please join us as a member to explore the world of rewilding. Join us at www.collectivelyrewilding.com today.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite. You wish. This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah, Cross. Yeah, Mariah.
We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Global government, the mystery school, Agenda 2030, chemtrails and geoengineering, manufactured disasters.
We live in a time when awareness about current events and big media deception is critical to be prepared for the events that are rapidly descending upon us. This is Russ from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Diana and me every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. as we expose the truth big media keeps lying about.
Herbal medicine, the globalist real agenda, seeing through the propaganda.
Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you there.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Thank you.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal law? Earth-based spirituality such as Tantianism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty, here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Again, everyone, welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Monday, so TGIM, everyone, another broadcasting week is starting for us. I am not alone tonight, but we do have Christina joining us here in just a second, as usual on Mondays. And if you out there in Radio Land have anything you want to discuss, go ahead and give us a call. The number is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into tonight's conversation. So let's go ahead and bring Christina in here. Christina, welcome in.
Grateful to be here once again on the Proof Negative show, and thanks for being here to all the guests listening. Hopefully we'll hear from a few of you this evening.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to?
Oh, I just, well, dog sitting actually. So my daughter and her husband are gone for a week. They're out close to your neck of the woods. And so I'm at their house dog sitting. So hopefully we won't hear any loud barks and whining, because sometimes they're...
Oh, I don't mind that at all. That okay. I don't mind. You can have barking, meowing. Joanne Moretti used to have birds, and we'd be talking about the New World Order, and you'd hear birds chirping in the background. It was the best.
Oh, yeah. You know... It's actually fun to come up here because they live in one of those little South City St. Louis neighborhoods to where the houses are just, you know, right beside each other. And everybody is like out in the front yard talking, and it's kind of fun. So, but yeah, Jess was just up here a while ago just looking at me whining like, I can't ever figure out what they're wanting. I think they just like attention. So, but they're funny, but they're sweet dogs. So anyway, so that's what I'm doing this week. And there's a new genetically modified purple tomato. Have you heard of it?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Is it supposed to do something?
Well, Ed, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, of course. I'm not stopping.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, no, I just wanted to, I'm in a different, I didn't know if you could hear me where I had the phone sitting now. So this tomato is, it's out of England, out of the UK. And of course, it's not really been like tested properly on it, on anyone, because I guess because of the way that they did it. But, you know, and I don't know how that goes. I mean, I know that in nature, I know there are farmers that actually, they somehow will take certain plants and they somehow do that, don't they? Like,
to
create a better plant. I believe that they do that in some way naturally. I don't know how that's done. But anyway, so biotech company, basically they did it with the vector, you know, with the way that the scientists do it. And it said that it is a genetically modified purple tomato. And it says, unlike its GM predecessors, the GM purple tomato is not destined solely for the fields of commercial. So this one is actually being debuted to be put in like the backyards of just, you know, like us. It's just yeah. So let's hope that it doesn't.
Well, it wouldn't be people like us, because I only buy non-GMO seeds, so it won't be for me.
Well, yeah. Exactly. I wouldn't buy it, but this one, they have already had a lot of orders because of supposedly what it does. So what this one is doing is supposedly it's heightening the antioxidant levels for potential health benefits. So they haven't taken anything like weird that has nothing to do with the plant and injected it in here. They've basically taken something from another plant and they've injected it into the tomato. So this one doesn't sound near as bad, but you still have to question, you know, when they mess with, it's kind of a Franken food. But, I don't know. It said that the engineer, said biotech investors hope it can usher in a new era of public trust in genetically engineered foods, while skeptics worry the tomato's near total lack of regulation or review may hide dangers to human health and or the environment. Imagine that. So it said it was engineered by scientists at Norfolk Plant Sciences in the UK. And the projected aim to harness the natural properties of anthocyanins, compounds found in blueberries and blackberries, to enhance the nutritional profile of tomatoes. So what's funny is, you know, they said the natural properties of these found in blueberries and blackberries, but what they did was they did the gene splicing and basically got the genes from the snapdragon flowers. They said they're edible. These snapdragon flowers are edible. So they inserted two genes responsible for that purple coloration in that plant into the tomato plants. So basically the process enabled the tomatoes to express the genes from the snapdragon and subsequently produce high levels of these anthocyanins. And so this tomato is a very deep purple color. And, you know, I mean, it sounds great. It sounds great that they've, you know, pushed up the antioxidant level, but, I mean, I don't know. I still think these kind of things need to be tested. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, but they're saying that the purple tomatoes are a rich source of antioxidants, and the Oh, and the other thing was, so regular tomatoes, the anthocyanins, antioxidants are only contained in the skin on a regular tomato. So they're not throughout the tomato, they're just in the skin. The purple tomato actually contains them throughout the whole tomato. So I don't know. You know, they're saying this, the genesis of this tomato marks a significant milestone in agricultural biotechnology. And so I don't know. I just, once again, you know, I would caution anybody about something like this. I don't know what to think about it. But they said that according to Norfolk Healthy Produce, more than 13,000 purple tomato seed orders have already been shipped. So it was deregulated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture in 2022. It said, according to the statement from the USDA, the GM purple tomato is not subject to regulation by the USDA because it does not pose a plant pest risk. It said, with respect to Norfolk Plant Sciences purple tomato, we did not identify any plausible pathways to increased plant pest risk compared to other cultivated tomatoes, and issued a response letter indicating the plant is not subject to regulation. So in 2023, the purple tomato received a no question letter from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and which means the purple tomato is considered GRAS, which you know what that means, generally recognized as safe, and therefore does not require pre-market review or approval by the FDA. So here we go again. Putting something out on the market that, oh boy, sorry. Oh boy. This is what happens with the whole neighborhood. Okay. Good girl. Good girl. Good watchdog. Okay. Bye. It's funny. She's a small dog. The big one doesn't bark at anything. But so I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, I don't know enough about the tomato, but I don't buy the stuff, so it wouldn't really affect me. So,
hey, Lucy, I'm gonna close the door. According to an FDA memo dated June 13, 2023, tests conducted by Norfolk Plant Sciences mainly focused on six areas. It said the straightforward test, PCR, what? PCR? Good grief. And southern blot analysis were conducted. PCR and sequence comparison of DNA samples. It says the plants were bred to determine if the purple phenotype was inherited in a Mendelian segregation fashion. State of the purple phenotype was inheritable. It said it was conducted to determine if the purple tomatoes contain similar nutrients at similar levels compared with non-GMO tomatoes, including, you know, all the protein, fat, and all that stuff. It said it determined the levels of the most nutritional components to be similar or with minor differences. Controversial test to determine if any open. So there's a lot more stuff. There's no evidence that the developers of the tomato carried out the kind of molecular analysis that could help establish whether they only got the change they want with no unintended changes. So yeah, but they haven't really tested it. So these wide-scale mutations can change patterns of gene function and alter biochemistry and composition, of unknown downstream health consequences. Get your bowl. So, you know, new peptides of equal or greater than 30 amino acids. So it's just, they're playing with Frankenfood again. So, I don't know. I have to talk to some others about this gene editing and make sure, because, you know, I think the problem with these type of things is, you know, are they going to keep it? Is it all going to be coming from food sources? Like, are they going to continue to pull it from this other edible plant? Or are they going to synthetically now derive it? You know, this is the problem, is are they now going to synthetically derive this component and then inject it in there? And you know, because synthetically derived components, they're not the same as the natural. You know, we can go back to the tryptophan in Turkey. Remember when they isolated it and made supplements, natural supplements, and it actually worked? And then remember when they took it off the market and they basically made a synthetic version of tryptophan, and it actually ended up, I think, it might have even killed a few people. I don't remember, but I know that it was dangerous. It didn't work, and they had to pull it off the market. And it's like, yeah, it's because it's synthetic, you know? It didn't come from nature. So
My favorite tomatoes, though, Christine, are the ones called tomatoes. They actually come in a pack of 5.
Tomatoes.
Have you seen those K-U-M-A-T-O's, tomatoes?
Oh, I think I have.
They look like a dark purple or maybe a light black, if there's such a thing.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I hope. I don't know if that's this or not. Hopefully not. I mean, I don't know if they'd even have to label it.
Well, no, if this just came out, I've been eating tomatoes for like 15 years.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, no. And I'm sure it's probably going to have some type of sticker on there. It should, stating that, you know, it is that way. But, I just don't trust them when they start doing this stuff in a lab. Oh, now see, here's a comment. Oh, Lord. Big purple tomato helps prevent cardiovascular disease and fight cancer in humans. Oh, come on. Unsubstantiated health claims, of course. But it says here, it has been demonstrated that overconsumption of anthocyanins, they're saying when taken as a pill supplement, but anyway, the overconsumption of them may cause kidney, liver, and thyroid hormone health effects. Hmm. So yeah, I mean, they just, everybody needs to remember moderation. It's good and all. You know, we want those antioxidants and things, but I still say people can just go overboard with anything. So
speaking of fruit, though, and stuff, I didn't know this until yesterday. Do you know the fruit with the lowest glycemic index number? And it's glycemic index number. Well, actually, there's two. But there's two fruits that have a glycemic number of 1.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty low. Jeez.
You can't get lower than 1. So if you want to guess which two fruits they are.
Oh, my goodness. Let me think a minute. Something not sweet. What on earth?
So for diabetics, you can eat as many as you want.
What is, there's a fruit I'm thinking of, Well, is the cocoa plant is the cocoa considered a fruit?
The cacao, no. Well, if it is, it's not a glycemic level of one. I only know the
okay.
level of ones or the glycemic ones for this question.
Not lemon, is it?
Well, not lemon, but there's another one that's similar.
Lime?
That's one.
Wow. I love limes.
And then there's another one.
Is it tomato?
No.
Okay. Okay, I'm probably going to have to give for the second one.
All right. Strawberries.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
Strawberries are sweet. Interesting. Huh. You know, strawberries are, and, you know, I've been doing some more cancer research lately, too, and strawberries are one of the foods recommended to fight cancer. And it's funny you brought that up because I was listening to Dr. William Lee and there was something he brought up about the strawberries. Now, I will say strawberries, you want, you know, the ones that are found in the wild strawberries, or you want like locally grown. You got to stay away from, I would tell people to stay away from commercial strawberries that are not organic, because they are loaded with pesticides and you can't like wash them out because of the strawberries got all those little, you know how it has all those little seeds that like opening.
Well, there's one way you can kind of get it out, but you're not going to get it all out. You have to wash it in vinegar, let it soak in vinegar for 15 minutes and then rinse it again.
Ooh.
But you're not going to get it all, though. You'll get a lot of it, but you won't get all.
Does that, like, pickle the strawberry a little bit?
No, you're not letting it sit overnight. You're not canning it. You're just rinsing.
Well, where did I write that down? So the thing of it is, too, the reason you want the organic ones and the ones that aren't that they don't use herbicides and pesticides, is he was saying that on strawberries, he said, basically, when pests and when things attack the strawberry, it causes the strawberry to produce, like the healthy component of it, it causes the strawberries to produce more of those nutrients. It makes it, like, stronger. So it's actually good when they're exposed to pests and stuff because it actually makes them healthier. So it's saying, you know, pesticides actually weaken the plants because when the pesticides are used on them and the pests then stay away from them, they don't get that interaction with the pests that cause them to be injured and make more of those nutrients. So I thought that was pretty interesting, which makes sense. But strawberries, seems to me that they're a fantastic food. Now, I've had trouble growing them, getting them to come back every year.
I've had no luck growing them at all.
Oh, you know, and it's crazy because, like I said, as a child, my grandparents, you know, they had wild ones growing in their backyard, and they would come back every year, and they were so good. I've noticed that the wild ones and the ones that are coming up right now in the local food markets around here, you know, because the farmers markets are just opening up around here, and they're so good. They're these small, just... So they're just so tasty. I mean, They're really, really good compared to, like, grocery store strawberries around here. But yeah, I struggle too. I can't get them to come back. I don't know what the heck is going on. But sure wish I could get them to grow because I do love them.
Yeah, another thing I've tried and tried all over many times is I want lemon cucumbers, and I just can't grow them.
Lemon cucumbers?
You've never seen them?
I don't think so.
Well, they're more round than a cucumber, and it tastes exactly like it says.
So it's a lemon-flavored cucumber. That would
yes.
be good. Wow. So, see, I wonder
not
if that's
that
one of those
Not that I'm going to do a lot of gene splicing here, but have you ever had a watermelon radish? Those are my favorite radishes.
No.
It doesn't taste like watermelon radish, like a cross, but it's just what it's called.
I just wonder how they do it. I wish somebody out there would call in and explain how they do it in nature without, you know, the Frankenstein stuff, without the vectors and all that stuff. I just wonder how they do it naturally. I tried to look it up, and that freaking CRISPR popped up. I'm like, no, CRISPR is definitely not what I want.
Yeah, and who knows what has mRNA in it.
See, it says, so here's what it says. It's funny. It's telling me how farmers do it, but then on the rest of the page, all it has is that CRISPR, that, you know, CRISPR all over the freaking page,
yes.
which people need to freaking learn about. We need to stop it. But it says farmers have used selective breeding to naturally edit plant genes. For example, farmers may plant teosinte seeds. What the heck is that? And then breed and plant the seeds of plants with desired traits, such as larger kernels.
Well, I know about gene editing because one of my favorite fruits, they've been editing that for a couple centuries now. And that's ugly
What's
fruit.
That?
Have you ever had ugly fruit or seen ugly fruit?
I don't know. That's what it's called? Ugly fruit?
Yeah, it's UGLI. You can look it up. It's oogly.
Okay, I'll look it up. Does it taste like any other fruits?
Yeah, it's a cross between a tangelo and a grapefruit, kind of.
Oh. Interesting. Known as the Jamaican tangelo.
Yes.
Huh. Yummy. I would like that. I mean, the citrus fruits are good for you. That's for sure.
Oh, this one is, you have to make sure that you have enough napkins on you when you're eating it because it will get messy.
Well, you know, and I've been listening again a lot, and they're saying that, you know, I do the fresh orange juice every day, but I do think that it probably the healthiest thing people can do. I do believe it's probably the just eating the citrus fruits. You know, I think juicing most of the time is done just to give the body a break so that it doesn't have to digest or anything. But
see, I'm not into juicing. I will do a smoothie because I want everything. I don't
want
to get rid of the fiber. I want the fiber.
Right. I understand that. Yeah. No, and I don't think, you know, these people that do nothing but juicing for these super long periods of time. I just, you know, I don't know about that because I know it also changes your digestive system. I mean, I understand that there's times when, you know, for instance, like with the colon cancer or stomach cancer or esophageal or any of that stuff, I can understand where you might for a month, depending on how bad it is, you may have to do some gentle juicing with like cucumber and watermelon and just very alkaline things, and give that tube a rest, you know, just put things in it that's very alkalizing and not stress the body out to where it has to use any energy to digest anything. I can see that, you know, just kind of pour things in there to heal that tissue. But I think when somebody does it too long term, I think it might mess you up for when you go back, you know, when you go back to trying to consume food. I think it's going to be hard, and it's like, you've got to be careful, especially when you're introducing foods back into the system. You got to be careful that it's not going to possibly like cause you maybe to block up or something. I just don't know. I don't know how that would affect that. So I think it's a, you know, I think people really need to communicate with people that have done it, or, you know, really talk to an expert when they do something pretty drastic like that. Because,
well, I did smoothies, you know, for a year and a half, so I've done smoothies.
Well,
and I dropped like 80 pounds.
And did you continue to digest and eliminate properly?
Yeah, but I also ate too, so I had dinner.
Oh, okay. So you did eat food too. Okay. So because I've heard tells of people, I think when they do just juicing, that after a certain period of time, that you can literally like maybe not eliminate, which is kind of odd. So I don't know. But, I mean, you still would have to get rid of the juice somehow, but anyway, I don't know if that's the healthiest thing in the world to do for too long. But then again,
You could do smoothies, but I just want the fiber and the nutrients. And if you're juicing, you don't know what you're really taking out of it other than, you know, you're not getting fiber. And I don't want to eliminate anything that could have a vitamin in it.
Well, and, you know, they're saying now with most diseases, and especially like with the colon cancer, the fiber is extremely protective and beneficial. And the fiber is extremely protective of the microbiome. You know, they're saying that's very protective of the microbiome is the fiber. So where was it they were saying that there was a void of colon cancer? What country was it? And it shocked me. Oh, I'm completely forgetting where it was. Dang it. And I'm trying to remember what it was that, because I thought it was going to be like Africa or something, because, you know, their diets are so high in fiber.
Meanwhile, most Americans, they're lucky if they get 15 fibers a day.
Oh, I know.
They might not even get that. They might end up with 8 to 10 at the most.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary.
Most Americans are good for one sandwich, and that's probably 20 carbs per slice of bread and one fiber each. So there's two at the price of 40 grams of sugar.
Yeah, you know, I've got a couple of friends that are, they're carnivores, and, you know, obviously we are on very different, you know, I don't have an issue with people eating a little bit of meat, but I think people are crazy that eat predominantly meat. I mean, I don't know how that is okay.
Well, as you know, I like meat, but if I eat too much of it, I have crap-a-thons.
Yeah, I mean, there's no fiber. The fact for your body to push that through that system, it really overtaxes the body. I mean, you've got to give it some help. I mean, at least if you're eating, you know, like you're eating fruit, you're eating some raw food, salads and probably stuff like that. If you're eating other foods with fiber and stuff in it, at least it's going to help push that through. But, oh, for somebody to just eat the meat and stuff, I'm just like, whoa, that would scare me
like
to death.
Like if you ever order a hamburger, you see so many people out there, they'll order a GMO burger and they'll order it plain or just ketchup.
Yeah, I know.
Not that those are the healthiest things ever, but you're taking any form of nutrient, be it GMO even, and you're saying no thanks, not even the mustard, which is probably the healthiest condiment you could put on a burger. But that,
yeah.
They don't want that.
Yeah, I would agree with that, for sure. So, hungry. I said highest. What country doesn't have it? Not what country. Country has the least. I can't find it now.
Hmm.
It says this is saying India, Asia, and Africa, but that's, I'm going completely blank on what somebody told me. I wish I could remember. But it was shocking, very interesting. I do know the green. Did you say you liked green tea?
Yeah, sometimes a little too much, but yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good for you. I mean, I will say that.
I didn't tell you about my liver issue back like 10 or 12 years ago.
No, I don't think you did.
So I was a green tea addict. I would drink like the equivalent of a 2-liter bottle of green tea every day for like 20 years.
Holy cow.
And if you know anything about green tea extract, it's a weight loss mobilizer. And
okay.
If you have too much green tea extract, it starts eating at your liver.
Oh, wow.
So I was starting to have liver issues. I couldn't eat for like almost 3 weeks. I would force myself to have yogurt and just liquids. And I randomly came across an article from naturalnews.com that discussed too much green tea could lead to liver failure.
Holy cow. Well,
so I just happened to catch that article. So I had to do a liver cleanse like stat.
Oh,
fortunately,
geez.
Liver is one of those things that you could regenerate.
Yes. I was just listening to, you know, those doctors I was telling you about, they were talking about that. They were saying, you know, there's all kinds of proof that the body regenerates itself. And that's what they were saying. They're like, yeah, you can cut off part of the liver and it'll grow back, you know? So, it's very interesting. So do you remember what you used for detox?
Yeah, a lot of the doTERRA essential oils.
Okay.
So I'd have a drink concoction in a glass jar. I'd have 32 ounces of alkaline water, and I'd mix in 2 drops frankincense, 2 drops of what's called En Garde. And then I have 3 drops peppermint and 3 to 5 drops of lemon.
Okay.
And I would drink that at least once a day, sometimes twice.
Okay. So you use the lemon oil instead of the, like, fresh lemon juice?
Oh, yeah. It's more concentrated, so yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I know... I've been checking out mold stuff too, and I know these ladies were saying that the obviously the glutathione, like you can get the glutathione patches or the N-acetylcysteine, which is the precursor that makes, you know, the glutathione. But yeah, glutathione is a great detoxer too. But I don't know if it's enough. I think that what you just said, yeah, some of that stuff is good. Obviously, we know.
When you're using the En Garde, you can't use it for more than, I forget how many days in a row. So when I did 10 days, I took a few days off, and then I did it for another 7 days. And then after that, I started being able to eat again.
Kind of like Golden Cell. You know, Golden Cell.
I have that right on my desk here.
Yeah, you're not supposed to take it, I think, for more than, 7 days in a row? Then you're supposed to back off?
I'm reading it here, so.
Yeah, I mean, I.
It says on my Nature's Way brand, it says here, take 1 to 2 capsules every day with meals. For best results, use continuously for at least 1 week. So
okay.
I don't know if 10 days or 2 weeks is too much.
Yeah, I thought it was like a week, but
maybe it's one of those things you use for 7 to 10 days and then put it down.
Yeah, because it's just like echinacea, but echinacea you can take for like 3 weeks and then you're off a week.
Yeah.
But
the On Guard for doTERRA has oregano oil in it, and you don't want to take that for more than like 10 or 14 days.
Yeah. Oregano oil is good, but it's strong. It is strong, so I could see that. Okay, it says Golden Still should not be taken continuously for more than 3 weeks, with at least 2 weeks between each use. So actually, sounds like you can take it for longer than that. So I think that's changed a little bit from what I used to read. So. But, yeah, I mean, herbs are great, but sometimes, yeah, you do need to take a break from them. They're potent medicines.
One thing I learned with my weight loss, basically every vitamin I have a set day where I don't take that vitamin on purpose.
Oh, okay.
So, every vitamin I do 5 or 6 days, and then I take a day or two off.
Okay. That's a good practice.
Well, I don't want the body to get that used to it, so I want it to get excited.
Yeah.
I learned that when I did my smoothies.
I've often thought about that, and I'm like, you know, there's so many people, and I've been guilty of it before too, that you get used to taking a certain supplement, and it's like, what happens if that's no longer available? So it's like, I guess it's best to get everything from food, but still, sometimes it's just hard. I mean, just like the vitamin D, you know, it's really hard to get everything we need. So, but... there was something else I was going to bring up. Where did it go? Oh, since we're still talking about health, there is supposedly there's a compound discovered on Easter Island that may extend life and combat age-related diseases. So it says, discovered in a mysterious land, it's called rapamycin, can slow the growth of everything from wrinkles to cancer. And I'm like, this sounds way too good, you know? But it says it's a secret compound discovered 50 years ago. So 50 years ago, so you're telling me they've been studying this thing for 50 years? But it was discovered, or maybe they just, no. So it's just saying the compound was discovered 50 years ago on Easter Island, produced by bacteria there, rapamycin. I don't know if it's mycin, rapamycin. It's rapamycin. It appears to be a powerful life extender and may be a transformative treatment for age-related diseases. So in 2009, the National Institute on Aging Interventions testing program published a groundbreaking study indicating that rapamycin extended the lifespan of mice by 9% from night. Let's see it. Now it says the lifespan of mice by 9% to 14%. I don't know if that makes sense. It said the experiments conducted by various research institutions worldwide have further corroborated these findings or have found the compound to have a significantly greater life extending effect. It's saying it can stimulate hair growth, hair regrowth, prevent hair loss. It reduces proteins related to aging in the skin. It increases collagen. It said it has even shown positive effects in treating age-related diseases such as Alzheimer's, diabetes, heart and muscle conditions. It says while the drug label for rapamycin currently does not claim to extend human life, it says some people with a strong desire for longevity have already sought this medication from their doctors and take it regularly in small doses. There was a study published in 2023. Gerald Science employed a questionnaire to survey 333 adults taking rapamycin off-label, most under the supervision of a physician. Said the vast majority, 95%, reported taking rapamycin for healthy longevity anti-aging reasons. Almost 19% for preventing dementia, and a few for cardiovascular disease or cancer. However, no one reported taking the drug for its original approved use, prevention of organ transplant rejection. Interesting. I guess that's what they've been using it for. Interesting.
So what kind of fruits and vegetables have this in it?
I don't know. What I'm trying to figure out is where they found this. It's saying it was not made in a laboratory. It is not a synthetic molecule. It's actually from nature. For 3 months, explore the natural environment where it became exposed to the outside world. So they deserve that the local indigenous people who walked barefoot, this is good. This is good. You'll have to put this on your website. It says, during the period, they observed that the local indigenous people who walked barefoot never contracted tetanus, leading the researchers to suspect that some substance in the soil provided protection. So subsequently, in the laboratory, scientists found just that. This substance was a metabolite of Streptomyces hygroscopicus that possessed antibacterial properties. Okay, where is that from? Good grief. It says the substance starves fungi and things around them and prevents the organisms from growing. In the local indigenous language, Easter Island is called Rapa Nui. It says, therefore, the substance discovered in the island's soil was named rapamycin. I don't know. I don't get that. I don't understand the connection there. So undoubtedly, are they just saying basically it's in the soil? Huh. So I guess that's what it, I guess it's literally just, it said it was initially used as an immunosuppressant. So it's not really telling us. But it's got some pretty remarkable effects on here. But knowing them, I mean, Easter Island, isn't that a pretty remote, secluded island? I don't think there's much on there. So I guess they're probably not going to let anybody know. Because as far as I can say, it was just, it's from what I've read, it's just literally, I mean, it's, which are crucial, it's got a lot of positive things. So yeah, I guess the soil. I had no idea that it was already a, like a drug. So that's my question is how are they, said it wasn't synthetic though. So if it's not synthetic, how are they producing it? Are they literally producing it naturally? Interesting.
Well, you know about it more than I do. So if you're asking me, I'm lost.
Yeah, I've gotta keep on digging into this a little bit more and figure that out because it doesn't, yeah, just come out and say that there's, you know, something we can go get. I guess the only clue they gave was that they're barefooted in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know this article was this long or I would have read the whole thing before I jumped into it. So anyway, so. Good thing to know. I'm going to have to look into that more. For sure. And so they were talking about, you know, these offshore windmills, talking about how they're harming endangered species. And of course,
okay.
You know, this is one of Biden's things. He's pushing to get them in, you know, as many out there as possible. And, you know, that's part of their expansion to do the carbon-free energy system. It's never going to happen. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But it says, yeah, wells and other marine life may become collateral damage. So, you know, I think there's so many, I mean, I guess, where is it? In Holland? Is that where the windmills, like, were originally kind of used? But.
I don't know exactly.
I mean, when I think about them, that's what I think about is the, you know, Holland and seeing the cute little, the windmills. But they weren't these gigantic, monstrous, ugly, you know, metal things that drip pollution and harm animals, and I don't think they're a good island or a good idea. I really don't. I think once again it's one of those things where, you know, they think, oh, this can do this, you know, but then they don't ever continue and do their due diligence and realize and look at the negative sides of it. But it said that two independent studies measuring ocean wind turbine construction noise found that the sound emitted by vessels mapping the seafloor was significantly louder than estimated. And that noise protection for whales and other sea creatures during wind turbine pile driving doesn't work. It's just sad. It says intense noise causes hearing loss in whales and other mammals, turtles and fish. And we know that they navigate. I mean, think about dolphins. I get so frustrated when I hear these things. It just goes with the shallow thinking of all these people, especially people in power. They're so short-minded. But anyway, so I just, you know, people need to start paying attention to that, start trying to speak up and find out information about these things and find petitions and stuff to keep them knocked down. Because it's not a good thing. Not at all. need to stop it. I mean, those things are, those are giant. I don't know if you guys have ever seen one, but it's funny because where I live in Cape, the highway that runs like from St. Louis to Cape to Memphis, you know, you see these enormous trucks come through with these strange, large objects on them. And I know I've seen one of these before. I figured out what it was, but it took me a while. But, I mean, they're just so big. And then I think somebody was talking about there's like a landfill full of this kind of stuff. That's just, you know, it's kind of, I think this is where we have to stop and say, are these things actually providing us any benefit? Are they just, you know, maybe making things worse? Because can you imagine now if all of them were to not be used? It would be awful. But it's just funny, too, about the electric cars, because I think a lot of car dealerships that have the electric cars, I think a lot of them are trying that can't get rid of them, because I think most people don't want them. You know, I think the hybrids are fine. They're an okay idea because you have both. But the all electric car is just, sorry, just not going to work. No way we can sustain it. No way we can sustain it. I mean, it's great for local and short trips and stuff like that, but I'm not going to travel in one and go freaking have to sit for an hour while it's recharging. I mean, I don't even know that. I wonder how long it takes to recharge one when you're on the highway like that. No idea.
Oh, I don't know exactly.
Did you see where the CDC actually found evidence that jabs caused deaths?
Oh, Moderna's announcing it right now. Well, not like literally. Well, maybe right now. Who knows? But I saw an article over the weekend that says that they're aware of these mass deaths. They're debating on not doing a round of gene therapies.
Oh, I mean, it's just unbelievable what's going on right now regarding
Pfizer's pretending that nothing's going on, and they're saying that Pfizer says they saved the world, and now they're going to save people from cancer.
Right. Yeah, because Pfizer's got a new, you know, they've got that new vaccine. Isn't it them? Are they
yes.
the ones that have the new? Yeah. And if people are stupid enough to go line up for that now, oh.
Yeah, they're trying to say, too, that there's two new COVID variants called Flirt.
Oh, boy. I wonder what that is. Okay, people, why are you trying to call me? You know, I am doing this. Guess they forget.
And by the way, thank you for picking up Thursday for me. I was going to roll without a co-host, but if I have a fun guest I think you'll like, I was going to try and invite you.
Okay, sure. Sure. Okay.
All right, I sent
you
the article.
I looked at that. Yeah, I looked at it. So I don't know about all that stuff. It's great.
I don't think they're going to, other than reaching the Democrat base, I don't think people are going to move the needle on this. The average person sees that this is just election interference.
Yeah, I mean, Oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know, yeah, even, because I do know Dr. David Martin came out and did a YouTube video saying that, you know, he's been in front of these different organizations and he felt that, yeah, he felt like they weren't going to do squat about it. So that just goes to show you how powerful Big Pharma is. They control everything. I mean, the insurance companies.
Oh, and don't forget, too, though, Christina, that later this month, there's going to be a vote with the World Health Organization taking over all these nations. And they're going to roll out everything they ever wanted to roll out with COVIDs and these gene therapies. They're going to pretend that nothing happened with these millions of deaths and side effects. They're just going to roll it out and say it's the most effective thing that ever happened, and everybody needs gene therapies, and now it's a worldwide law.
Oh, geez. Yeah, well, good luck.
Yeah, good luck on that.
Yeah.
Because I'll be one of those people that they'll probably take to one of those FEMA camps that don't exist.
Yeah, I've got news for them. I'll be finding a group of people somewhere, and they will not be coming near any of us. Not at all.
But the thing is if they shut off the money and say you need a gene therapy in order to get part of your bank account back, then you're going to have a lot of people that say, well, I understand that God loves me, but I need to feed my family. And so they'll get a gene therapy and give up the afterlife so that they could be controlled by, well, for all intents and purposes, Lucifer.
Completely.
But the good news is that if you could survive it without a microchip, then it's only a short period of time that Satan rules the earth. But it's having to get through it, though.
I mean, there's definitely witness of that happening right now. I mean, there's a lot of areas where that is absolutely the case. I mean, you know, the stuff you see happening in schools, even with COVID, what happened. And then there's no justice. I mean, there's a lot going on. So there is supposedly, speaking to that, have you heard of a film called The Firing Squad?
No.
So it says The Firing Squad, a film that just might save America. It is, I think it's coming out in August. I'll send it to you. But it says that you'll quickly find that you're getting a crash course in the power of faith and redemption. It's directed by a Timothy Chey, Chey. Oh, and it's going to be produced by the Epoch Times. Interesting. So it just says, with college riots, mass shootings, police officers killed, and looting in stores, the world is looking for a savior. The Firing Squad aims to bring incredible hope by bringing 1 million people to Christ. So far, floods of people have accepted Christ after the screenings. Interesting. So it says people were coming to me completely shaken. Says star Kevin, is it Sarbo? Kevin Sarbo?
Yes.
It was incredible. Okay. I wonder if he's in it. I know who that is. So, yeah, it officially hits the theaters in August of 2024. It says movie follows the intense journey of three men on death row as they experience a spiritual awakening in Jesus that ultimately changes their lives. It says these characters are portrayed with a rarely seen raw authenticity as they work through some of their darkest moments, only to discover light through none other than the divine intervention. So anyway, that'll be a good movie when it gets out, called The Firing Squad. It says based on an incredible true story. Huh. So yeah, Kevin Sorbo's in it. Got James Barrington, Kevin Sorbo, and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Okay.
Yeah. So that'll actually be a pleasant movie to watch. I look forward to that. Not many of them I do. So even when I'm trying to find stuff on YouTube to watch, it's like, yeah, that's why I watch so much stuff.
I can't name you one movie from this year.
I don't know if I can. I'm trying to think. I did just watch something the other day that was good.
Judge. But in a movie theater?
No, I don't go to the movie theater. But on Netflix, there's a movie called, and I know you don't watch Netflix, there's a movie called The Judge with Robert Downey Jr. Good movie. Really good movie.
That's funny. Yeah. I can't name you one movie. By the way, Bianchi wants on. I'm going to bring him in, and we're going to do Mr. Broccoli in the third hour.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, now let's bring Bianchi in.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, Bianchi.
Hey, any of those actors denigrated Trump, I don't watch their movies.
Did either of you see where John Cougar Mellencamp had a meltdown in concert?
No.
So a couple weeks ago, John Cougar Mellencamp was doing a show, and he was talking right at the beginning of the show. He was talking about how much he hates Trump and everybody needs to vote for Brandon.
Oh,
he got booed mercilessly, and people are yelling at him to shut up about politics and play music. And he went off on him, and then he got mad and left the concert.
Good. I mean, good. You know what's crazy to me is the people, the reasoning that they're so disgusted with Trump. And I guess the left-wing media, the majority of the media, have done such a it's not
a fantastic job of pushing Brandon's media.
Yeah. I mean, of portraying Trump as this
villain.
Sexist.
Oh, the new thing now is if you don't support Adolf Hitler, that you're a Nazi.
Oh, geez. I mean, the youth
right now is all about supporting Hitler and supporting Palestine.
Oh, great.
And I wish I was joking on that, but I'm not.
Oh, Lord. No, the thing he said about women, and I mean, it was stupid. He should have never said that. Yeah, but I'm like, people, I'm like, do you know how many men out there would say the same freaking thing? I said, it's like, really, people, do you not have a clue? I just can't believe. I mean,
if you're in a private conversation in a locker room, I mean, does it really matter?
No.
It's not like he said it at a G20 summit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, it's just such a lame reason.
People don't say no more things today than they did during the Vietnam War. I support Palestine, too. I think it's crazy for you to be killing those people, especially kids. Kids haven't done anything. What have they done? And when it comes time to rebuild what's been tore up, guess who's going to have to pay for that? Well, United States, we need some money.
Yep.
But, yeah,
but
Pamke,
the thing
I have
is that Palestine is being ruled by the wrong people. So
yeah, Hamas.
But people don't want to recognize the people behind Palestine, which is Hamas and Hezbollah to a lesser extent.
Well, you know, the same thing can say be said by your big cities, too. St. Louis has been ruled by Democrats for over 74 years. I mean, look at it.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, Baltimore, El Paso, Miami, been ruled forever.
Yeah.
So, Bianchi, you named a city last week that said that they haven't had a non-Democrat mayor since, like, the 1800s.
St. Louis haven't had... That would have to. I guess the oldest one would probably be Miami or El Paso. I can't say the 1800s,
but I know.
Miami
has a Republican mayor now, so that's not it. Is it
well,
New
before
Orleans?
Before that, they had never had a Republican mayor, according to what I read.
Was it Tennessee?
No, I thought it was New Orleans for some reason.
Oh. Yeah, I thought it was Tennessee and New Orleans, maybe.
Maybe
what
Memphis,
was
not,
was,
not Tennessee, you know, as a whole. That's a state. I'm talking about a city.
Well, yeah, you're talking about just a city.
Who was that, Long, Louis Long? When they put the newspaper up, paper headlines out, said he won, but he didn't?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't keep up with all that, but now some cities you haven't had no. I'm telling you, you haven't had a Republican mayor in St. Louis since Tucker, and that was before I was born.
I think it's hilarious. Like Chicago, you don't have a Democrat in the. I mean, you don't have a Republican in the entire state, and the mayor's trying to tell you the reason why his communism isn't working. It is because of Republicans.
Yeah.
I think he blamed some of it on the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know,
so that's the way those things go.
That's crazy because you know most of Missouri is. I think most of Missouri is Republican. It seems like.
Yeah, but that's every state though. I would say about 98% of big cities in America are run by Democrats, and the rest of the state is run by Republicans for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, because our mayor here is good, the mayor of the state. So
they want to.
I mean, not
they
mayor,
punish
governor.
People that move to
governor.
A rural area.
Yeah.
You move
because
to a rural
they're
area,
they
want to punish you some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. But no, the only thing I was going to say about the Palestine thing is, you know, there shouldn't be killing on any side, either side. But I do know that there's videos they were showing how Hamas is, when they bring in the food and the supplies and stuff for the Palestinian people, Hamas is literally like preventing the Palestinians from getting any of it. They will even kill them.
Which is why I don't understand why these kids are they're going after Jewish people and not Hamas.
Exactly.
Well, because George Soros
been,
pays them, I guess.
Yeah, and have you been seeing the videos of these of the Islam people saying that? You know, that the United States flag will be replaced?
Oh, I've seen signs of people that say LGBT for Sharia law.
Oh. You know what, LBT? Why don't we just send them all over there? Why don't we buy them all a ticket over there and let them see how they get treated once they're there? Oh, that was
well,
that way.
Here's the thing. I've been watching videos where you had black males beating the hell out of white women. I don't know proof. Did you see that one in Memphis? I think this was Memphis, Tennessee, where they was going into a building, and these black males just took this white woman and just smacked the hell out of her. Then another one was at a street where there was a lady, I think she was getting out of the car, and a male came up and beat the hell out of her. And the white male that was sitting in the grass watching it, and all of a sudden he gets up and runs. So that tells you two things right there.
Wow.
But yes, everything is going on. And the United States, as I've said many times, you need to stay out of these countries' business. Leave them alone.
Yes, what do we absolutely.
What do we need from over there in Gaza? What do we need from over there? I don't need anything from over there. What are they worried about, the Strait of Hormuz? Goods don't travel through the Strait of Hormuz to get to Britain. They don't. We don't need the oil. We was to make way with what we have. And another thing, too, the planet is dying. It's going to die one of these days. And mankind would be gone way before the planet burned up, because when the temperature started getting up around 108, 110, this species of human life can't take that.
Yeah. That's true.
Gonna be gone.
Well, yeah, but you're forgetting that the Earth has been in a cooling cycle.
In the
Earth
mid,
will always
from
be
Canada, from Canada down to Illinois, you had sheets of ice that was a mile high that cut the rivers.
Well, this week there's several areas that have snow warnings.
The Mississippi River was pushed 80 miles west from where it is now.
Really?
From where it was.
Interesting. Huh.
So that's just the way it is. That old sun, what happens if a black hole sucks up the sun and the earth?
Oh, we'd be in trouble.
We're gone.
Yep.
And putting up arrays of solar panels do drain power from the sun. I mean, there's nothing. If people use the main thumb rule, nothing is free. It costs. You just don't see it, but it's caused. I think Tesla done an experiment like this where he had light rays that was carrying electricity to operate something. It's on YouTube. Well, those solar panels is drawing from the sun. Now, it may not be noticeable, but any microscopic movement whatsoever is going to eventually have an effect. Mount Everest is growing, 2 inches every year in height or something like that?
Oof.
And you know, that's another thing. Let me say this. As mountains grow and as you build huge projects like the Three Gorges Dam, and you build tall buildings, those things cause the earth rotation to slow down. Case in point, they extend outwards. It's just like a figure skater. When they have their arms out, they slow down. When they bring their arms into their body, they speed up. So that's relative speaking to what you have going on with these projects on the earth. When the earth slows down, it's like a rotisserie. The meat cooks faster.
Ah, I get it. Okay. Makes sense. So basically you're saying that the solar panels, I mean, I understand that they're absorbing the sun. So are they actually sucking more energy from the sun than the sun would naturally just put into something? So you're saying they're causing...
Those sun rays are coming off the sun, standing outward and going someplace. And then if they're going out into space, it's not going to hit anything. It won't be no problem. But electricity, just like water, seeks the least path of resistance. So if it's got something that's sucking it up between the closer to it, that's the least resistance. If it has to go clean out into the galaxy 2 or 3 light years away, well, you're not going to notice anything as far as that's concerned real fast. But it is burning up. It's burning out.
So if that's the case, are the solar panels causing more heat to come to the Earth?
Well, the heat's going to, the light rays is going to come. I mean, that's just it. But the collector is just like a conduit or a conductor between them and the sun. Like I said, Tesla, look at that experiment that Tesla done, which was they had two objects separated about, some meters apart, and they shined a light or something, and it caused a motor to run. There wasn't no electrical wire connector between them, but it did happen. Nothing is free.
I'll try to find that. Okay. Interesting.
It's like organic food.
Yeah.
Your body is looking for, your body cells is taking the molecular components of anything. That's what it looks for. And in a lot of cases, the time these things ride along with something else. If it's a chemical,
sure,
they're going to ride along with it. But when it breaks down and goes into your cell's not going to take the whole component. It's just going to take what it needs and spit the rest of it out through your anal tracts.
And the lymphatic system.
Look at Chinese. They grow food amongst human excrement.
Ooh. You know, Mexico does that too.
Yeah.
That's why people get the Montezuma's revenge.
Well, I don't know, but plants will grow in sewage, in sludge.
Sure. I mean, they use animal feces, so why wouldn't human feces do the same thing?
Absolutely. You put a horse dung on your tomato plants.
Yeah.
And when you go to cut your tomato, it don't smell like horse dung.
No, yeah.
But it don't grow. It got big as heck.
I mean, don't they use a lot of rabbit, I think, stuff for that too? I don't remember what stuff it is.
Anything is excreting like that, I want to call it SHIT, but when they ate it, it was something in food. And then your cells in your body was eating it, and they got to eliminate too.
Yeah.
That's why when something sits out and it starts rotting, it stinks because the bacteria has the excrement.
Yeah. Did you hear the conversation earlier about that compound found on Easter Island?
Yeah, I don't know about it. I've heard a lot of things. I've witnessed a lot of things, too. But I tell you what, you go to taking something off them islands, those authorities are going to charge you for it.
Yeah.
If you take a bottle of water, you know, they usually don't bother us. People, like we're on the Nile River, people fill their bottles up with the river water.
Yeah.
And it's so clear, you have to mark the bottle. If not, you confuse it with your regular store-bought water. And I've known people to drink the wrong bottle. But they will and can charge you for carrying stuff out of the country. You know, a jar of dirt or something like that. You got to get through customs. Well, the customs will stop you. But you know, some group that want to put a patent on plants. There's a plant that grows in South Africa. I think it's called tahini, but I'm not sure. But it's a berry that's 1,000 times sweeter than normal processed sugar.
Oh, my goodness.
So everything you need to heal yourself is already here on the earth. Where else are they going to get it? fly off to Mars and pick up a pound of this and go to Jupiter and get 2 gallons of this. And,
right.
And then, too, what's on those planets is probably on the Earth, too. It came from outer space.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is. You just got to know what you're looking at. And also, people that evolve in certain areas, when they go to another area, then that's when they start having problems. Because they're not used to that. It's just like sickle cell. The cell is, your red blood cell is sickle, so that the mosquito, the malaria parasite can't latch on to it. But when you come to an area, a region where there's no malaria, and you take somebody out of that sub-Saharan environment and put them there, then those cells, it's simple, and they're not doing no good. The intentional purpose. That's why sometimes, you know, my grandfather told me, might have been his grandmother, put things back like you find it, or don't bother
yep.
them at all.
Yep. I mean, we've learned that through history. Look at all the bad things that's happened from, like, when the British took the, let's see, you know, just diseases, animals, when they would take things from islands and bring them to here that didn't belong here, or vice versa, or they would take things from here and leave them on the islands that would cause just, you know, awful things to happen. I mean, just look at even the moth that, you know, the moth in the Iron Lung, that special moth that got loose over here and caused all the pesticides to be developed that caused the polio. And, I mean, there's just so many things. Not a pig, but the meaner one. What am I
boar?
Trying to think of? What is it?
A boar?
Yeah.
They're called feral hogs.
The wild boars.
So the wild boar, was it the British that took those islands? Isn't that what happened? They took them somewhere to one of the islands and it caused a lot of issues.
Well, they took rabbits to Australia and it caused a whole lot of issues.
You know, yeah, they need to leave things that are, you know, natural to that, that are like, that belong there. They just need to leave them there. So it's like, I'm looking at this, you know, they're saying this compound that's found on Easter Island. I guarantee you, if they take it out of context, if they take it out of its perfect natural habitat and environment that it is in, and say they try to bring it back here and get it to produce, it's not going to be the same environment. It's not going to probably do the same thing. I mean, I know they found that out about those acai berries. So they're, you know, they can't, for years when they found out how potent the acai berry was, you know, they tried to bring the palm trees over here that grew them and tried to get them to grow here and produce those berries, and they wouldn't do it. And it was because in the Amazon, those trees for several months out of the year are literally submersed underwater. They are completely underwater, and yet they survive. And so they said what happened is the floor of the forest there, the roots of these trees feed off the forest floor. And they said, you can't create that over here. You can't create that forest floor. And you know, the trees aren't going to be submerged underwater. So you can't create the natural habitat for those palm trees. So they're never going to create that berry over here like they do over there. You know, it's just those things. It's just greediness of man, of just wanting to have every, you know, just everything. And yeah, it's just, I don't understand. Well, I do understand. There's a lot of souls in this world that just don't care about that stuff. You know, they don't care about preserving nature, seeing beautiful ways. I mean, it's sad. It's so sad because once people wake up and they realize they have enough, they have everything they need, you know, but it's so late sometimes for when so many people get that. And I just...
It's like Moringa. Proof said that he takes Moringa.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, Moringa don't grow in the United States.
Uh-uh.
And there's another tree called the acacia tree. It grows along the Nile. And when you look on some of the temple walls and you see the depictions, you see the goddess Shesek feeding acacia leaves to the king of the Sudan, one in particular, Rameshu. Well, somebody tried to take an acacia tree and bring it to and plant it, the seeds, and see if they could grow it in the United States. Well, it did, but the leaves was toxic. It was poison. So
there you go. Yeah.
You just can't do that.
Nope. It's like, nope. You know, they were, God created these things perfectly in the way they should be, where they should be, and
it's just like zoos. Zoos take animals out of Africa and bring them to the United States, and people pay to see them. Well, why don't you have the zoos over there and go there and pay to see them? And that way the people in those countries can benefit from the revenue.
Yeah.
Egypt does it with the pyramid. They generate like $4 billion or so from tourists coming to seeing those remains from that era of time.
Yeah. No, I know. I hate zoos. I really do. So frustrating. I just don't like. I don't like that those animals are in captivity like that. It's sad. So sad. I don't even like those. You know, in Florida and the aquarium, those type. Oh.
Yeah. Putting gorillas in cages. Those gorillas got feelings. They're highly intelligent. So you're going to put them in a cage where they're limited and everything?
And feed them food they shouldn't be eating.
Yeah,
you know,
I'd be giving them Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, gorillas don't eat meat. I'm sorry, people. It's true. They don't eat meat. In their natural habitat, they do not eat meat. And, it just... I mean, it just, I guess that's, you know, part of living in a world of duality.
I've seen gorillas eat their own excrement. Well, they can. It's just as green as it is when they eat it through their mouth.
Yeah.
It's not toxic or poison, like when you try to do that with meat and everything else that you consume as a human being.
Yeah. Yep. It's true. Very, very true. I did see an article talking about, I love this time of year when all the flowers are blooming. I love driving by like just a field of just, you know, full of just the same kind of flower. For miles. It's just so pretty. And and the birds lately, it's so interesting. Where was I? I was at our little health food store in Cape. And, you know, it's there's concrete and everything. There's not too many trees around, but I came out to my car and I had checked out and came out to the car, getting ready to leave, and it sounded like a bird was in my car. I'm like, why is that bird so loud, you know? And so I kind of looked back, and then I was like, well, there's nothing in here. And then I got out of my car because it was just, it was beautiful. It was so, it was chirping so much and in so many different forms. It was so cool. It was beautiful. And I look up, and there's like, you know, a telephone pole and wires. And he was, you know, he was just sitting up there, and he was just chirping away, at, you know, and there was another bird in the distance. And I just, there's so many cool things in nature that people just take for granted. And, you know, we need to have more of those moments and just stop and just stop.
Maybe
and
one
just
of his,
take the time
maybe
to listen
one
to
of
that.
His young. Maybe one of his young had fell out of the nest or something, tried to fly and couldn't quite make it.
Yeah.
Beat cover under your car.
Yeah. Well, no, it was just, it was a happy chirp. He was like up there singing. It was like they were so happy. They were communicating. It wasn't, you know, a scared, it was like a good one. But it was just so loud, you know, I thought it was closer than it was. But it's just amazing the sounds, the different sounds that one bird can make. You know, it was so pretty. But I wish more people could just pay attention to that stuff. I think it would change people for the better. But I don't know. But
yeah, all them animals are intelligent too.
Yeah.
You ever seen videos where a moose or any animal seek human help when their babies are in trouble, stuck in mud,
yeah,
and can't get out?
Yeah. Yep. And I also saw, was it a gorilla? What kind of animal? I just saw somewhere where a man was in like some quicksand or something, a human, and I'm trying to think of the animal that reached down there to help pull him out.
It was probably an orangutan.
That's what I'm thinking it might have been.
Yeah. They smart, too.
Yeah. So it's, it's really interesting. But the field of flowers thing, I didn't realize, you know, I was thinking more along the lines to see all the fields of flowers and stuff like that. I figured it would be like in the warmer states and stuff, but I was looking up and it gave five different areas where they said are some of the most stunning places to go starting about now, this time of year, to go see these landscapes of these beautiful, you know, flowers. And they were talking about most of them are out west. They said one is in New Hampshire in a little town called Sugar Hill. And they said it just, you know, is one of the most beautiful places that you can go to. The other one was Crested Butte, Colorado, which, proof, have you been? Do you go to those places a lot, like out in Colorado and west?
Colorado is like a 12-hour drive for me, no.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know it was that far from you.
Yeah,
okay,
I've been to
never
Denver
mind.
Twice, and it's a 10-hour drive.
Okay. And this other one, they said Antelope Valley. Oh, that's in California, where the poppies grow. They said that it's basically, I think, the Mojave Desert grassland near Los Angeles. They said it becomes a wonderland of poppies. And then the Glacier National Park in Montana says April, May, stretching into the summer. It says nearly 1,000 species of flowers including bear grass, glacier lilies, purple asters, and more, that you can go out there and see it. So it's kind of in the later, the colder climates that all this happens. And then it says Mount Rainier National Park. It's saying that it's brief but beautiful. Their wildflower season from July until August. And it says the area is called Paradise, and it's in the southern flanks of the mountain. So it would be so cool to see, because I've always, I know, like, over where they grow the tulips and stuff, and is that Holland? Is that what I'm thinking? Where they grow the tulips?
Well.
And fields of lavender. I mean, it's just so beautiful. But those are
some aliens.
Different.
Some aliens may be traveling through the galaxy and stop off at Earth and get something that they need to repair on their ship. But you remember that one movie, Predator?
What was it called?
Predator.
I don't know if I ever watched it.
The first one, Arnold Schwarzenegger played in it. And this thing was in the trees. This thing was in the trees. Then another one, Danny Glover played it. And this ship, I guess it was in the basement underneath the structure of a building. And these predators was causing havoc. But anyway, when they was getting ready to leave, after Danny Glover was trying to fight one, there was nothing you could do with him. He pulled out like a 1700 musket gun. And it had, and carved on the side of it, something like 1600 or 1500 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means that they had traveled back in time. Or was coming from time, I don't know. Did you see that proof?
No, I sure haven't.
It's on YouTube. It's the Predator that had Danny Glover in it.
Okay. Danny Glover Predator.
Yeah. That was a pretty good movie, and just that there told you something. You know, they always do say that movies have a way of telling you of what's to come, whether it's Dick Tracy watches or, you know, Captain Flash Gordon and the rocket ships that used to come on in cartoons and that. They have a way, and of course, the Jetsons, you know, with their flying cars, they have a way of portraying what's going to come.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Star Trek.
George, wasn't it George? Didn't we talk about this before? George Orwell, right? What was, dang it, I always, it's not George Orwell, is it?
George Jetson?
No, the guy that predicted, like, what happened with, like, what was going on with COVID and all the stuff coming now. The Orwellian days. What the heck? Let me look it up again. Or he predicted it. George Orwell. No, it is George Orwell, I think. Okay. Definition. Yeah.
Oh.
Let's see. 84. Yeah, he was the one, we call it Orwellian days, and it was from the writings of George Orwell when he referenced, it's basically his dystopian account of the future totalitarian state in 1984. He had a movie. What was his movie called? But, I mean, he sure predicted it. If you go watch it, the movie, let me see. It was George Orwell's movie. I watched it a while back. Was it 1984? Well, yeah. Okay, I guess it was George Orwell, 1984. So, yep, it's called 1984, 1984 film. But if you go back and watch that, he knew what he was talking about. He saw it, you know, that it was coming. So, and when did he write that? What year? Year did 1984 come out? In 1949.
Oh, I thought you knew that.
No, I didn't realize it was that far back. Wow.
Well, the book was written in 48. And,
okay.
And so that was after the book.
Huh. There you go. Not surprised. But.
Let me bring something up then.
Okay.
Did you see where Jack Smith announced in court that he made up a bunch of stuff in regards to Mar-a-Lago? He just totally gave himself up.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're not going to do anything to him. They're not going to do anything to him.
No. He can't expect to win that case now, can he? Does he still think he's going to win when he admits he lied?
It should be freaking dismissed, in my opinion. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
No, they're still going to go for it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it had to do with, the documents that they seized from Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. I don't know a court case where you can admit to the judge that you lied. and you expect to win.
Yeah, and wasn't it classified documents that some of them shouldn't have even had access to, right?
Yes.
That's what I was understanding. Yeah, I mean, I just cannot wait till the day when things get back to where they should be.
Oh, we might not get that chance, though. If Brandon signs off on sovereignty going to the New World Order, and there's enough nations that want it, if there's enough nations that want a one-world government, then Trump won't be able to do too much.
I don't know about that. Besides, nobody has the authority to sign our rights away like that. I'm sorry. The president does not have that authority. They may think they do, but no, they don't. So.
Yeah, but if the Democrats control the Congress and they control the Senate, then as long as they allow it, it'll be fine.
Yeah, well, they'll have a war on their hands.
No, that's what they want, though. So they can come in like Captain Sabaho and start a civil war. They want that.
No, they're gonna sink like a. No, they're gonna go down if they think that they're gonna do that. They're not gonna get away with it. No.
Well, U.S. citizens got the power to dissolve their government.
Yes. Maybe it's time. Oh, way over time.
Only thing I can say is that you better be well armed between the dissolution and the formation or whatever. It gets to a point where people just say, you know, I'm fed up, I ain't taking no more. Like, I spent 16 years of my life since Trump got elected, and probably 8 years before him with Obama watching that go down.
Yeah.
I could have been traveling, could have been going up to Maine in the fall, watching the trees turn, getting some oysters and lobster.
Yeah.
I could have been going down to Texas and experiencing a barbecue and going out to North Dakota and Montana.
Oh, I thought you were
going to
say you
could have
been down in Haiti visiting barbecue.
Yeah.
No, exactly, Bianchi. That's exactly right. They have
impacted
trampled.
Our life for the negative.
Yeah, they've trampled on our ability. You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Ah, I mean, when have we been able to do that?
No, not with them. They just caused a lot of goddamn havoc. Heck, I like to go out around Area 51 and camp out, just watch the sky and see what I can see. Something might come land and say hello.
Yeah. I know. It's
We might have a friendly game of checkers. Friendly game of checkers with a alien.
Yeah, and I mean, and just think of the other countries. I mean, we can't even, you know, you can't, it's just crazy. You can't even go explore the world anymore now without threats.
I like to go to India. I like to go to India and get on that train that transverses the country. I like to visit those temples that feed 100,000 people a day for free. Can you imagine that?
Oh, wow, no. My goodness. That's something. 100,000 people for free?
Yeah, those temples, they got them all throughout India. They feed the people.
My goodness.
Well, yeah, it's a vegetarian meal, too, by the way, because they don't, it's forbidden to harm a cow.
Yeah, I know. I have my gemologist, he's Persian, and he's Jewish, and anyway, he went and lived in India for several years. He told me about it. Oh, he said that the cows yell. They're like dogs over there. It's funny.
Yeah.
So,
go to the Himalayas and get up there and around Everest and just, you know, see how it is up there. Go up to the North Pole where you can walk around the earth in about a 4-foot circle, diameter circle. You walk around it. You can walk around the entire earth.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so we should be having a good time.
I never thought about that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. That's good. That's true. Well, and proof that thing you the YouTube video I sent you that you downloaded.
Yeah.
You know that the guy, what he's talking about, he's got some really good points. It was a good TED Talk, and, you know, he even brought up the fact, like, and I don't know about this one. I mean, I kind of agree with it, but, you know, he was talking about, like, with Social Security, he said, the mega wealthy in this country, they don't need to be taking their Social Security. He said, let the people that need it have it. He said, but why are we, you know, why are the uber wealthy getting their Social, you know, why are they getting Social Security when they don't need it? Because it's draining, you know. He said, we are destroying the future for our young people.
You know what hurts Social Security more than the people who collect it, that pays into it, that's rich, is when the government has been, quote-unquote, borrowing from it and doing things that they shouldn't be doing. You know, the federal government is not supposed to be operating a business for profits. They're not supposed. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that. Pay no attention to it. They don't pay no attention to the laws. They don't pay no attention to the Constitution. They write rules all the time that denigrate your constitutional protections, especially that which we know so well, and that's the Second Amendment.
Yep. They are no longer working for the people. They haven't for a long time.
You remember John Danforth. You're from Missouri. He used to be a U.S. Senator from Missouri.
Yeah.
He was asked, was he going to take his Social Security on NPR one time? He said, yes, I paid into it.
If
people make, that's the beauty of this country. You have the ability to go from dirt poor to being rich and wealthy, where you can better take care of your family, do philanthropic work, and everything else. Hell,
yeah.
I was looking at some street market scenes in Africa, countries like Ghana. All the clothes that those people were wearing was clothes that either, you know when they have those boxes where they say your old clothes, put them in here?
Yeah.
Well, that's where they get the clothes from. That's where they get the shoes from. People getting rid of their old stuff in Western countries are donating, and it ends up over there. You got some organization that made a business out of it to clean them, you know, and sell them by the pound. These people get them, and they sort through them and sort things out. Then they sell them.
Hmm.
And here's the deal on these. They're talking about commercial planes being electric. Commercial planes are pretty efficient. Now, I'll tell you the reason why. When they fill up with fuel, okay, they may weigh 100,000 tons. Well, the longer they fly and the further they fly, they're using up the fuel it takes from the overall takeoff weight of the plane, right? So
right.
In essence, they become more efficient until they run out. But what about electric planes? You can use those batteries. And when they go dead, they still weigh as much as they did when they were fully charged. So if it's a load on the plane as it take off, it doesn't get lighter and more efficient as time goes by because the battery is going to be the battery. It's going to weigh as much as it did when it's charged as it is discharged. But oh no. People think this is the best thing since waffles.
No, not at all.
Bad as hell to be riding around in an electric plane. I tell you, I surely would be.
No, I don't want to see that. And they don't have the resources for that. And, I mean, and it's not going to help the climate. It produces as much garbage because of where they get the energy from.
See, if you had a car that had electric motors on the wheel, okay?
Yeah.
No matter what you put on there as an alternator, it's not going to run that car, charge the battery, and be self-sufficient. It's not going to do that. Something always costs. You may have an alternator that recharges the battery for starting, in a fifth and running the lights is ran off the battery. The alternator charges the battery, keeps a surface charge on it. And then also you have a radio. Radio ain't pulling that much. But to have a battery, see, they don't even do it in trains. Locomotives have electric motors on them that runs the wheels. But they have a diesel engine that provides the power for the electric motors. The generator that operates the electric motors.
Yeah.
That's the way that works.
You're not going to have no engine
that's going to be totally electric. Like, it ain't going to work. And that's one of my fascinations is train, by the way. I can sit on the side and watch a train 2 miles long go by, and I'm just as fascinated as a little kid.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad that this country doesn't utilize trains more. They should have beautiful trains that people can travel on. The most underutilized form of transportation, I think, in this country for just human transportation. Now, I know they still use trains a lot for industrial and stuff like that, but yeah, as far as passing, like to get them from one place to the other, it's so inefficient because I've looked at it. I've looked at it so many times to try to catch a train out of St. Louis or Carbondale and to go to somewhere, and it's like, it's more expensive. It literally costs more money, and it takes days. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. So, I don't know why they haven't created more train systems like Europe.
Yeah, if you don't have much to do and you got time, Amtrak has those routes across the coastline to the south over into California, up to
yeah.
California to Washington and come across the Canadian, U.S.-Canadian border, that route, then come on back down into Chicago. Ain't got nothing to do. Or hell, drive the old Route 66 route out to California. Take your time.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of history in that, you know.
Yeah, very true. Very
you know,
true.
Route 66 came down Chippewa over there where the Coralleaf, mobile units, you know, there on Chippewa.
I mean, I know Chippewa. What area of St. Louis on Chippewa?
Out there around, you know, when you go across the prairie and you get pick up Chippewa and you take that going west,
I forget
where it goes. Well, they have those. I mean, that used to be Route 66 that goes out to California.
Okay.
Actually, it's coming that way and going over into Illinois because I think it starts in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
But if you go the other way, it take you follow that out, you go right out into California.
Okay. I didn't realize Chippewa was part of that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then out there, as you go through Sappington and that, and I can't think of what the community is, they got these old motels.
It was like Crestwood?
Yeah, around there. They got these old this old motels. On the right hand side.
I remember now. Yes, you're absolutely right. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think they're still there.
Okay.
And they got the 66 drive-in.
Uh huh.
Yep.
I remember that now. I know what you're talking about. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, them was good times.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
so
I mean.
They built a federal highway that parallels it, and it took away a lot of business from towns. Those towns had to fold up because they didn't have no traffic.
Yep. It absolutely did, yep.
And then they got antique stores along the route right now where famous people probably stayed the night, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's sad that they don't ever care, you know, sometimes that they just never look at what things they're going to bring. I mean, I watched the little towns where I grew up that happened to them. It was called Flat River, and there was a part of it that everyone, you know, you drove through from, like, where I came from to these other little towns. Everyone drove. This was the main drag. Everybody drove to get to places. And there were all kinds of businesses and restaurants, even a nice park with some old military planes and stuff. And as the area grew, they ended up building a brand new road that went on the outskirts, you know, that entire little town. And so nobody went through there anymore. And it has just, you know, nothing anymore. Sad.
You could go to Gerald, Missouri, Licking, Herman, Missouri, during the grape festivals. They'd be making grape wine. Everybody go out there and get a bottle of wine.
Herman, Missouri, So
they had the caves, Merrimack Caves, and Jesse James Hideout. Matter of fact, it was in that area that they'd done the movie with Clint Eastwood, Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I realized that.
Yeah.
Neat. Yeah, I thought there was another Western, too. Was it the Missouri Breaks, or what was it called? I don't remember. Yeah. So.
Right now, down in Florida, in one of those towns, they have been overran by monkeys. And come to find out, they brought some monkeys over when they was making a Tarzan movie. And the monkeys got away. And they have populated.
Oh, my goodness.
I was there in Tampa. I was there in Tampa when I took my wife and daughter. We visited to Florida. And we stayed in this one hotel. And they came by and said, hey, they got a tour. We'll take you over to look at this settlement that they're building. I can't never remember the name of it. And I was in my 20s. I ain't ready to retire. He said, well, they'll feed you lunch. I said, well, I'm going. They fed us lunch. And one of the scenery we rode through, this kind of like swamp area, is they said this is where one of the Johnny Weissmuller Tarzan movies was made. Yeah.
That's neat. I did not know that happened. Good grief.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of that town. It's still going. It's a retirement place.
Huh. Yeah, I would have no idea. I have to look that up. Florida town they shot Tarzan in.
Mm-hmm. It's over on the east side of Florida. But it's, you know, it's a lot of things people could be enjoying themselves. Well, good God, man, it takes two to work to maintain one household.
Silver Springs?
No, it wasn't Silver Springs, but I know, I think I've been through Silver Springs. Well, the place I went to look at the development, it's when they were building.
Okay.
They were trying to pre-sale.
State Park. Yeah, I don't know.
That's one of the detriments of getting older and always on being on the move, because your brain has to store that memory in archive, and you can't recall it right away.
You got to go through a lot more file cabinets.
Exactly. A lot more file cabinets. Looking for what you want.
It says here in this article, more than 1,000 wild monkeys descended from animals introduced after Tarzan was filmed 74 years ago. That's funny. Funny.
Naples. That was Naples, Florida.
Was it Naples?
Hey, wait a minute. My hard drive probably just finally got to it. Naples, Florida. You hear
so
that?
It was on the... Okay, so it's on the west. It's on the Gulf, the West Coast.
Yeah, it's on the West Coast, Naples, Florida.
Okay.
They come by. They come by to your hotel and tell you, "Hey, you want to go on a tour?" I said, well, I don't know. The guy said, well, they're going to feed you lunch. And I said, count me in.
Wow. I did not. So that's how those monkeys ended up there. Oh, my goodness. Cute. My goodness. I guess they're okay there since it's a warm climate, obviously.
Well, you know, the sea is supposed to rise, and Miami area is going to get back like it once was a long time ago when the ocean was low. That cycle is going to come back.
Yeah. Well, that YouTube video I talked to that I sent proof. The guy, he's talking more on the economic side of things, but yeah, he said, you know, he talks about how things, it cycles, and they're supposed to happen, you know, things are supposed to, he talks about all that, so it's, like I said.
Well, yeah, these things have happened before, because when they go to the Antarctic and they do those core drills down into the ice and take them there and store them there in Colorado where geologists can, you know, can study them.
Yeah.
And put a time factor on every daggone inch of it and go back in the time. And that ice, when it freezes, it entraps air bubbles. And in those air bubbles, a sample of the atmosphere and all this stuff. You know, if somebody down the street was frying chicken, that air bubble will still contain that scent of fried chicken, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, I talked to, yeah, a while back, there's this, what is his name, Ross? I had to go back and find him. He was this, this very intelligent man about science stuff, and he studied the stars and stuff. And the moon and all this stuff. I forget the name of it, the title of it. But he was saying that on the moon, he said the moon has the answer of, he said if they would just go up there for this specific thing, he said it would have the answer that we've been looking for all our lives. He said because all this, the different, oh, I forget how he explained it, but he said basically it's all up there on the surface of the moon, you know.
Well, you know,
from the beginning of time, there's what do I want to call it? There's remnants
well,
or whatever
right.
up
you know,
there in that soil.
You know how that, you know what story that was portrayed in? Superman. You remember that he was Cal, and his parents put him in this capsule and sent him off because the planet was getting ready to explode. And he landed here on Earth, among some others. But that's going to be a practicality one of these days. Of course, we'd be gone. But you're not going to be able to change what's going on with that big ball in the sky. You just ain't going to forget about it.
No. Yeah.
So the other thing is for you have to start moving, develop the technology to be able to go move populations elsewhere and try to make that elsewhere as adaptable, habitatual-wise, as the Earth. I don't know, you may find another virgin planet. I don't think I want to go on a virgin planet because there's too much changes to be going on. But
yeah.
That's what's going to happen, unless you just die here.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to die here. They ain't going to want to go.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? So,
that's why you should enjoy yourself as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Live and let, Live and Let Live, I say. The movie was Live and Let Die.
Yeah, he can't live in fear. You just, you're right. You're absolutely right.
There's something beyond the control of man. He's not going to be able to control it. It was probably better off that way, too, because if they was able to control it, then they would start exploiting it for money.
Yeah, I mean, the fools, the people, these people like Yuval Harari and all these idiots who think that they're going to outsmart that which created them or you know, it's like they're so stupid to think that. I mean, no.
Yeah, like weather modification. That's kind of wild thought, too.
Look what that
tells. And all that crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, Proof, are you still there?
Yeah, I was letting you and Bianchi get into it because I didn't. I tried to say something a couple times. I figured, screw it. You guys can't hear me.
No, that one thing, you need to talk about that thing. I saw that. I was going to bring that up the last show. That's crazy.
Which one?
The one with the slide that fell off the Boeing and landed in that attorney's yard.
Oh.
I mean, that was
so
hilarious.
Yeah, so let me share this, and then it's Mr. Broccoli time.
Okay.
So a Boeing plane... kind of lost some parts in midair. And the emergency slide fell off the Boeing plane, and nobody will ever guess where this ended up. This ended up in the yard of an attorney. So this attorney fights safety issues such as this. So naturally, that just gave him a reason to sue Boeing.
But wasn't he already suing them?
I didn't see that, but it doesn't mean he's not.
Okay, well maybe that's Discovery Outside Home of Lawyer Whose Firm is suing. Yeah, see, it Discovered Outside the Home of the Lawyer Whose Firm. Is already suing. Wait a minute. Read that wrong. Lawyer Whose Firm is suing Boeing. I thought they were already suing him, suing Boeing, and then that fell off in their yard. I thought, oh my gosh. Maybe I'm reading that wrong.
I know it's an Alaskan Airlines. Well, hold on. They're suing an Alaska Airlines flight, but this is a Delta flight. So maybe that is.
Years ago, Christina?
Yeah.
Years ago, they had a plane go down on South Florida and Highway 70 over there by Umpsville.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Years ago. You know, if you're going out Natural Bridge, you go past Lucas and Hunt.
Yeah.
Then you kind of make a little right jig and go down that road, which takes you into Ferguson.
Yes.
The west end of Ferguson. And right there at Highway 70, there's a little community. And this plane had taken off from Lambert and crashed into the trees.
Oh.
And, that was some years ago. I mean a long time. It was like 1970s.
Okay.
Those things do happen now.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately.
I don't know if anybody lost. I imagine maybe a few people did. The majority of it. I guess it did do some damage to a couple of maybe a dozen houses or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. No doubt. There's usually You know, yeah. Do you remember if the plane, did it have a lot of people on it?
It was a TWA commuter plane.
Oh, okay. You know, I've been a travel agent for years, and one of my clients years ago, he told me when I started booking his travel, he said, don't ever put me or any of my family on a small plane. And then he told me why. And literally, it was either his brother and the whole family, like the brother, the wife and the kids, they were on a small plane, and it went down and killed all of them. And so from that day, he was like, I will not fly on a small plane. Don't ever put us on a commuter or a small one. So I'm not going to do it. And, you know, unfortunately, you're kind of right. It does happen a lot, but it just, I think they say a lot of times some of these pilots think that they can correct things and fix things, you know, instead of just giving up and saying, oh, we need to come in for a landing. So I don't know. It's just sad.
All right, so we ready for our Mr. Broccoli before it gets too late?
Sure, I've got it pulled up. Got it pulled up. Where do you go?
Okay. All right, let me get mine up. Okay, there we go. So Mike and Malik are, hold on here. I thought I had this up. I better have it up here.
I've got it pulled up.
No, I'm talking about on the switchboard. I don't know why it's not here.
Oh.
Because I thought I did this like before I got on the show today. Guess not. All right. Let me try one more time real quick if you have anything you want to share. And I'll try to put this on the switchboard real quick again here.
Okay. Let's see. Hey, Bianchi, have you ever had any experience with mold or known anybody to have mold toxins?
Yeah.
Really?
What you mean, the mold in the ground or the mold that grow in your house?
Yeah, mold from, like, water in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Black toxic mold.
You got to clean that out of there. It can cause problems.
I'm just wondering if, yeah, my daughter years ago in college, they put her in an apartment that was on, like, the lower level. And come to find out, she started, her eyes, like, got really red, almost swelled shut. And she was having health issues. And finally, we found out there was a freaking, they had had a mold issue. And so got taken care of and everything, but she never really got over it completely until she was out of there. And anyway, I'm wondering.
You need to go to a doctor. That stuff is still living your body in different places, you know.
That's what I've been reading.
Your body is similar to the type of environment, warm, marsh, dark.
Yeah. That's what I'm reading. I'm like, holy. And it's so hard, they said, sometimes to, you know, even with the test. But there's a guy, I think he was telling how you test for it in your home. And then they said, like, for her to be tested, they said one of the better tests are you put them on, like, glutathione patches for a month or two. To where if they have it, the glutathione patches will make their body start detoxing it, so it will start getting dumped into, like, their urine. And they said,
yeah.
And then you do the urine test, and it'll show up. They said, though, if you don't do a little bit of the glutathione, if you don't start detoxing a little bit before you take the urine test, a lot of times it won't show up. So they said you need to be trying to detox it in order for it to show up in the urine, which makes sense, you know, because that's what I've been taught with Dr. Morse. He says your kidneys, you know, that's the filter. That's where a lot of that stuff, most of that stuff comes through. So you got to detox.
By the way, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. I'm ready when you are.
All right. So I'll count down. This is Mike and Malik protest on campus. So all these videos for Broccoli Man, you can look on Rumble. There's hundreds of Broccoli Man episodes. And I'll play this one right now. 2, 1, action.
Hey, Jamar, you need to come with us tomorrow morning. We are going to come here at 9 a.m. and make sure the Jewish kids this week cannot go to do their final exams. We need to support Palestine.
Yeah. If we can get 2,000 peoples up in this by snitching to make sure no one can get to their class, then we will win.
That sounds a bit skitch-a-ditch, B. Why would you want to stop people from taking their final exams, player?
SHIT already said if a student does not do their final, they will get an F for the class. They said the students are not allowed to take their classes online. We are going to mess them racists up.
Yeah, they don't know nothing about from the river to the sea.
That's right, honey. We are getting Fat Stack from George Strauss to come protest.
Jamar, if you come out tomorrow, you can make $500 a day. If you come all 5 days, you get an extra $500. Come make 3 G's and all you have to do is hold signs that say we want death to Israel and death to America.
That's right. I'm going to hold a sign that says Adolf was right.
My sign is going to say trans people for Sharia law.
That sounds like a hard pass, B. I'm not into racism at all. Like never.
This is where we have to choose sides. If you are not against the enemy, then you are for them. Why do you hate black people like us, Jamar?
Dude, didn't I buy you a mirror recently, Holmes? You are as white as Alex Jones. Quit acting like I am not black and Puerto Rican, and then you trying to pretend you're black.
I can too identify as black. At least I am voting Democrat this year. You are no longer allowed to identify as black peoples because you are not trans and you are not voting Democrat.
Boom. You need some ointment, Jamar. You got spurned.
I don't have to pretend anything, B. I do not have to fake my funk. And my parent 1 and parent 2 taught me to never be racist to anyone.
Oh no. It's that broccoli dude again. He is the most racist Haish I ever met. He is a something bucker for real.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
I need to punch hems in hems ball sacks. We need to put these white peoples in FEMA camps, even though FEMA camps do not exist.
That's right, honey. We need the white people to be put in camps. But if you believe that FEMA camps exist, then you should be forced to go to a FEMA camp.
There is never a way that to white people are not racist. Unless they are trans. And if you are not trans, you are also a racist and a homophobe.
Exactly. That is why this broccoli dude is the worst person on these mean streets.
You know who is our hero? Megan Fox said all 3 of her kids are trans. They have been at trans since they were age 1. She knows what's up with us trans peoples. Them something dark ass knew there were the other genders since before they could even walk.
I will be patrolling this university tomorrow. You are to peacefully protest. But if you put a hand on another student or stop someone from getting to their class, you are getting arrested.
You cannot stop us. You do not know the law. George Soros even gave us paperwork about what to say when we get arrested. You're not allowed to arrest us for being up Jewish students.
Yeah, if you arrest us then you are acting just like Nazis. If you do not support communism, you are Nazi.
Hey player, don't you know George Strauss is Jewish? If you are going to beat people up or shoot them because of their ethnic background or skin color, doesn't it make you the oppressor?
You need to shut up that face right now, and you need to put a scam on that face.
That's another thing, Jamata. If you are coming with us tomorrow, our dress code says we need to wear at least 2 scams on our face. This way no one can identify us.
If you have to wear a scam, doesn't that mean you don't want anyone to find out it is you doing the protesting? Besides, anyone that ever did the oppressing were never the good guys.
How dare you misgender us? Who do you think you are?
Yeah, I am finna report you for violating my gender rights. You should know I am a trans outlaw. You are only allowed to use my pronouns they/them.
Anyway, I cannot wait to come protest on the other side RRSHIT campus tomorrow. It will be fun to put a cap in some Jewish asses. That will teach them to be racist.
Mike, if you are going to beat up and shoot people based on their skin color and racial background, what does it make you?
Your racist rhetoric does not scare me.
That's right. Every single liberal magazine and college campus even says only you white people can be and will always be racist. Us black people can never be a racist. So we can do whatever and say whatever we want.
Mike, you were saying something last time about trying to get that black person stipend. But you were having issues getting it for some reason. Did you ever find out why the state is not giving you millions of dollars a year for being black? Malik is getting a black person stipend but you are not. Did the state ever give you a reason? Everyone is curious.
You need to shut up that face right now and you best get a scam on that face. Or else you will be dealing with my extreme caring skills.
Mike, you know what would be easy school tomorrow. How about you glue your ball sack to the ground while holding your sign? That would teach all those white and Jewish kids a lesson.
I cannot wait until Brandon lets us do drag shows in Palestine. We need to free Hamas in Palestine by doing our drag shows in front of the children there.
Yeah, those peoples would love us after we show them their junks while wearing dresses and me and you can do coitus right in front of them. They will feel so liberated.
Oh, you will be liberated all right. They will be liberating your soul from your body after they throw you off a 10-story building.
You are the business of the year. Everyone at Southern Hampshire Institute and Technology will be watching for you. Our teachers and all the paid protesters from other states will be here waiting to give you a dirt nap. You need to stop acting like a Nazi and start acting more like us communists.
Yeah, if you doesn't support communism, then it means you like Donald Trump and you bees as a Nazi.
Wow. What are they teaching you in school? How is it you do not know Adolf was a Nazi?
Adolf was not a Nazi. He represented the National Socialist Party.
And what do you think Nazi stands for?
It stands for Republicans.
Bruh.
I'm totally for sure not going to watch you all get arrested and for acting like racist jerks. I do not need $3,000 from George Strauss that much, B. Besides, I have a test tomorrow too.
Then we will be beating you up too because you are white. We will know who the racists are because you all will not be wearing scams on those faces. Everyone knows you are no longer black, Jamar. Expect to get an F on that test.
Yeah, your professor Mr. Toms is going to be out here protesting for Palestine with us. If you think you're doing a test tomorrow, you will learn the hard way.
Our professor the late Alawake said his test is simple for his microbiology final. If you show up to protest, you get a B. If you beat up someone for trying to take a test, you get an A. If you do not protest, you get an F. You best believe I will be using some fisticuffs tomorrow so I can get an A+.
Hey everyone. This is what we get for allowing globalists to put their agendas in these universities. Please, help everyone else around you get educated. Check out the Proof Negative radio show. Proof is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to know about. He also likes to talk about side hustles and help everyone survive the economic crash that is about to happen. These globalists want the United States to collapse and then have a one-world government. They seriously want to have the Book of Revelation play out right in front of us. Please help resist it. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Also, there are lots of other shows on freedomizerradio.com. Just click on their schedule and find other shows to support too. freedomizerradio.com.
I would never in my life support Proof Negative. Freedomizer Radio does not support communism. Then something doctors will be the ones going to FEMA camps. It is too bad it is just a conspiracy theory that FEMA camps exist.
Yeah, it is really going to make them fools mad tomorrow when I hold my trans peoples for Sharia law sign. Then they will know we are serious and want to do drag shows for the government of Hamas and Evil R. Then we can really free Palestine.
Alright, so that's this week's episode.
They just keep creating more conflict among different groups, you know? But it is, like I said, people just don't have a clue of how bad, of how dangerous. And I'm not saying that all Muslims, all Islam is bad, but the one that's invading, the terrorists, part of those groups are very dangerous. So they want to take over America. Are you kidding me? Everybody wants to freaking take over America.
I know. They feel that we're so easy to take over.
Yeah. So they fail to realize that we have the largest army on earth because we have all of us. So.
Well, they figure that we're not going to use it. Hey, I need a couple minutes real quick here. So, Bianchi, you have anything else with Christina? Christina, I'll be right back.
No, I guess we made it to India. We can try to pick up where we left off next time.
Okay. Yeah, where did we leave off?
I think we were someplace in India and the food palace.
Oh, okay.
I think we were standing in line trying to get served.
there's so many places I want to go, you know. It's funny because when I'm doing the show, I always put my... I've got Hulu on it. I put the Caribbean on here, and it's just, you know, people going to different islands, buying little Caribbean houses, and it's like there's a lot of Caribbean islands out there that's very affordable. So, but I mean they're so enticing, but then again, you know, even on those little remote islands, you can have your issues, and who knows how protected you would be on one of them someday. You know, I don't know if anybody would ever try to do anything bad towards some of those islands, but you just never know. I guess the pirate thing is the pirate thing still real, or is it mostly just certain areas?
Well, I guess it depends on what day of the week you're looking at.
Yeah, exactly. Where they might find themselves. But it's sure a lot easier, though. I'm not a cold weather person. I love going up and seeing some of those areas, but I'm like, yeah, but in the warm, you know, you've got water, you can grow food. You know, if it's too hot, you can get in the water, and then you can always grow food in those climates. So I don't know. I just, living in a cold climate would scare me. Just would not like it all the time. But yeah, India, I know, well, I mean, just what's funny is, you know, India is dirty. I mean, Kia told me that. He said, you know, to have clean water, he said, it's a struggle. He said it's extremely hard to have clean water. And I think he said every other month he would take like a, you know, parasitic type medication. But if you think about it, they don't have a lot of, like, they don't have Alzheimer's, and they don't have a lot of these bad, you know, imbalances and labeled diseases that people have over here. So, and like you said, they're, a lot of them are vegetarian, and they, you know, they consume all those spices. I bet the food is delicious, for sure. But it can also be very hot. I do know that. I think that's probably some of the hottest food I've had has been Thai food. I mean, not Thai, but Indian food, which I guess.
Oh. Thai and Indian are my two favorites.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. I love making curry, just, you know, the regular curry with coconut milk, traditional curry. So good.
I don't like yellow curry, though. I like red. I like
green.
What's the one with the potatoes in it? I can't remember. Green's okay. I don't like yellow at all, though.
The one with the potato, the Masaman?
That's it, yes.
Yeah, Masaman's delicious. It's one of my favorites. Yeah. I forget what they put in that. They put something else in that to change the flavor a little bit. And yeah, it's so good. So good. But, yeah, I guess in India, I think for a man to travel there, it's a little bit, it's safer than for just a woman. I know you can have issues over there. Women should always be, I would tell a woman to never travel alone over there. So it can be very dangerous. Say that there was a young girl went over there that I knew from, she was going over there to a place where she was going to write. She was wanting to be a writer. And she flew over there by herself, and during her connection, she missed her connecting flight, and some guys were listening, and they literally went up to her, and they're like, "Oh, we can get you where you need to go," and she stupidly went with them. I mean, I can't believe she got in a car with two strange men. But they ended up taking her to, like, a hotel, and they raped her. And, I mean, it's just so stupid. Yeah, it's like, what on earth were you thinking? She's okay. You know, they didn't kill her or anything, and they actually arrested the guys. Dumb. So, but Kia did tell me that. He said, yeah, he said you have to be very careful over there regarding stuff like that. Depends on where you are.
Anything
I guess.
Else before we finish up here? I just got the 90-second buzzer.
No. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it is 10:58. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that's about it.
I'll see you guys later.
All right. Thank you, Bianchi.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening. Good night. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we didn't get too many clips yesterday, did we? But that's all right.
Yeah.
I had your clip ready to go, too.
I know. You said you did.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in today, Christina, and I'll see you on Thursday.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow. Hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent the worst fire. I am Proof Negative, and I am Bruce.